Hello, I accurately identified the tomb of Talrasha, but stuff still happened. So what's up? Here in the United States of America, we are watching as our government is essentially choosing to not use existing funding to help feed its own citizens. Hungry populations are famously well-behaved. The government is shut down because the US is not a normal country. We don't do things that make sense. So instead of like working to have a new budget while paying for services using the previous budget that was already agreed upon, we just don't pay for services now, a thing that's not normal. Like, the US is really great at walking around saying, we're the best, our constitution rules, and then we have shit like this, where it's like, why is this even possible in our government? The answer is, it's a bad system, but let's just move on. So here we are with tens of millions of Americans wondering how they're going to eat tomorrow. And meanwhile, the government is pumping hundreds of billions of dollars into masked federal goons tackling people on the street for Fox News clips. So we're all watching this happen, and there's not a whole lot that we can do to stop it. But instead of just feeling helpless, let's talk about a few things that you can do to actually make a direct difference in people's lives. No doubt you've already heard about how food banks in the United States are just slammed right now, between federal employees being furloughed, military employees not getting their paychecks, and SNAP not actually going into effect for November. Everyone's trying to get food. Here's the thing about food pantries. They're not a replacement for nutrition assistance programs. They're a backstop. They're not equipped to handle this kind of a situation. Even in a scenario where every food bank in the country was well-stocked and well-staffed, they still wouldn't be able to handle the load that is on them right now. You know, the load that's supposed to be handled by the federal government of the country that we live in, with regards to ensuring that people can eat. Anyway, I can see it in your eyes. You're concerned that I'm about to tell you to volunteer. Guess what, bucko? I am. But I'm gonna do it in an interesting way, and then I'm gonna talk about mutual aid for people who don't think they're volunteering. Let's go. Volunteering rates in the United States took a huge dive at the start of COVID, and we're starting to see them tick back up a little bit. We recently saw a 5% increase in the number of people who said that they were formally volunteering in the past few years. So that's a good trend. More people doing more things, that's great. Unfortunately, we're also watching as the current generation of primary volunteers who are largely older are aging out. And of course, a lot of people right now are wondering how they can eat tomorrow and don't have a lot of time to volunteer. So like, I understand that not everybody can volunteer, not everybody has the time for it. Also, if you can make the time for it, it's very important. Of course, right now, a really important thing and something we're seeing a lot of are protests against ICE and the federal government and all the bullshit that they're doing. So if you're watching these protests and you're like, wow, I wish I could be out there, but, you know, I have reason XYZ why I can't go out and protest, or it doesn't make sense for me to go out and protest, would you be able to organize stuff by expiration date, maybe? Because volunteering at your local food bank is extremely doable, and they almost definitely need you. Typically, it's a matter of just showing up at a certain time. You don't need to bring anything. They teach you how to do anything that needs to be done, and they'll give you a task that you're able to do. If you're not able to lift big, heavy things, they're not going to have you lift big, heavy things. They might have you pack up grocery bags, organize stuff, go out shopping, meet people, actually, like, you know, cross off giving out the bags and stuff. There's a bunch of different work to do, and it ranges from physical to mental work. So just anything that you can do to help. Now, I want to be clear that, like, volunteering won't fix it. Volunteering is not going to fix this. Like, it just won't. I already said at the outset that even if all of these places were perfectly staffed and perfectly stocked, it doesn't solve the problem. But not doing something because it's not the fix to everything is a bad reason to not do something. And doing something in this case could result in literally putting food in the hands of a person who's hungry. You may also be interested to know that the recent uptick in people volunteering is largely driven by millennials and people who are generally marginalized and underrepresented. So if you're a person looking for a social network of new folks who are like-minded and have good hearts, it's not a bad way to meet people. But let's talk about mutual aid, the sort of like alt-punk goth sister of volunteering. It's pretty nebulous when you just say mutual aid. What the fuck is it actually? In practice, mutual aid is essentially just being a good person, but with a cool name. It's essentially networking in your local community and providing support where it's needed. It might be monetary support, it might be getting food to hungry people, it might be making sure that those who do not have houses are safe in the winter. In my case, a mutual aid network that I was a part of was doing a lot of work just passing out clean undergarments. That's important. It's not gonna fix the world, it's not gonna solve climate change, it's not gonna undo the rising tide of fascism, but it is gonna help someone be a little less hungry and have clean underwear. And that's what's like actually important, helping people actually get things that they need. You got to find a group in your area. They may be official or less official. And ultimately, you just got to get involved and ask them, how can you help? You will almost definitely find people there who are seasoned activists, who know the community, know what's actually needed, and can direct that effort very well. But unfortunately, there's not a lot of effort for them to direct. So here is a resource. I'm including this in a link in the description. It is a website that lets you look up mutual aid groups in your area. It's not comprehensive, but it's a great starting point. I will also link to this other map where you can look up food banks in your area to try to find a place that you may want to volunteer or donate to. You should know that right now, most food banks are saying donate money rather than food items because they know what food items they actually need. At the end of the day, all I'm saying is it takes a village. There are people out protesting and actively impeding ICE officers from kidnapping people on the street, and that is critically important. Also important is making sure that food moves to the places that need it. And if the government is not willing to help feed our neighbors, then that really just comes down to us. Anyway, what else? It's not a bubble.
It's a bubble.
It's not a bubble. NVIDIA is now the world's first $5 trillion company. This comes just 3 months after NVIDIA became the world's first $4 trillion company. This is largely because it's not a bubble.
It's a bubble.
NVIDIA is now so valuable that their company's valuation rivals most of the world's GDP, only being beaten out by China and the US. Although, I want to be clear that that's a meaningless stat. That is apples to oranges. It's actually like apples to like pterodactyls. But it's more like the fact that we're talking about the valuation of a company in comparison to the size of economies. Like, that's kind of the point being made here. Like, hey, that's a big company. Essentially, at this point, NVIDIA has reached national security interest levels, and it's in the US's best interest to just keep pumping money into everything that has AI labeled on it. And so I've compiled a list of recent investments across the AI space, just so we can take a look at how the tech industry is just an Ouroboros of too much money. Stick with me here. The Trump admin partnered with OpenAI, SoftBank, and Oracle to make a company to invest hundreds of billions of dollars into AI. Oracle announced a purchase of $40 billion of NVIDIA chips. SEC filings show that OpenAI was one of several large contracts with Oracle, valued at $30 billion. Google announced a $25 billion AI data center project. NVIDIA and AMD agreed to pay the US government a cut of all their sales to be able to resume sales in China.
The Trump administration takes a 10% stake in Intel on behalf of the US
OpenAI
government.
OpenAI and Oracle sign a $300 billion contract for computing power over 5 years.
NVIDIA buys cloud services from CoreWeave for $6.3 billion, which ultimately gets inflated up into the double-digit
NVIDIA
billions.
Then announces a $100 billion investment into OpenAI.
And AMD reached an agreement for OpenAI to take a 10% stake of AMD, causing AMD stock to spike.
OpenAI partnered with Broadcom
Oracle
to start making
said that they're
chips.
Going to start deploying a bunch
Oracle
of AMD
also
chips,
cut a
$20 billion
amount.
Deal with Meta to provide
Google
more
is going
computing
to start supplying
capacity.
Anthropic with chips to the tune of hundreds of billions of dollars. And the U.S. Department of Energy partnered with AMD at a valuation of $1 billion. Some of that is normal business. A lot of that is companies investing back and forth forever. Multiple banks are like, hey, y'all, it's a bubble. Like, it's a bubble. The current investment is in the hundreds of billions of dollars per year across these companies, and it's expected to continue to grow. And analysts are likening it to the dot-com bubble, which, if you recall, sucked when it burst.
I don't want a bubble.
Anyway, once upon a time, NVIDIA's whole deal was like convincing gamers to buy a new chip to render some polygons a little faster. And now it's whatever the fuck this is. Speaking of not a bubble, lots of tech layoffs. The tech industry has been going through a whole bunch of layoffs. This is not anything new. This has been going on for years now. It went from like, oh, we hired too many people during COVID to, oh, now AI is a thing that's replacing jobs. And also we're gonna lay off anybody who doesn't come back to the office. But also we're gonna lay off people who are doing AI work because the AI is not actually producing a whole lot of value. It's a lot. But here's a few layoffs from recent days. Amazon laid off 14,000 people. There was an original announcement about 30,000, but it ended up being 14,000. It was about 4% of their corporate workforce, and they're citing that it was not financially driven, not AI driven, but culture driven. Those 14,000 people just fucking sucked, I guess. Applied Materials is laying off 1,400 people, which is 4% of their staff, citing low sales.
Automaker Rivian is laying off 600 people. That's 4.5% of their staff because of the expiring EV credits, among other things. Meta is laying off 600 people from their AI subgroup, citing bloat. I would argue that AI is bloat. Essentially, these companies just chronically overhire and then figure out what to do with people. And then we keep landing in this position. Combine that with a culture of just buying as many companies as you can and creating redundant departments and then laying off those people as well. And you've essentially just got a monopoly disguised as a failing economy. Anyway, I'm just going to keep hammering this home as loud as I possibly can. Hey, there's too much money in tech and these people shouldn't be in charge of the future of humanity. Let's move on. Recently, a cargo ship pulled into the port of Baltimore on the east coast of the United States of America. This is not interesting because this happens all the time. Psych, idiot! It was actually somewhat interesting this time. Loser. The boat that pulled into Baltimore is a sailing ship. A sailing cargo ship. Quick aside, before I start talking about all this, far be it from me to heap praise onto global shipping companies, so that's not what I'm going to do here. A decent bit of this is greenwashing, and I'm trying to cut through that as best I can. Please understand that I just like ships. I like sailing ships. They look cool. And so this makes me happy. Let's talk about it. So freighters, they carry things to and fro, over the ocean. Impressive stuff. Except not great, because they burn oil, which is made of dinosaurs. Those pterodactyls that we were comparing the oranges to earlier. Apples to. Whichever we were comparing them to. We burn the juice from the pterodactyls to do shipping. And that's not great. And so we're trying to find a better way to go about doing that. Lo and behold, wind. Essentially, companies are making big sailing ship versions of cargo ships. And they're trying to say that this is a new green revolution or whatever. To be clear, there's still a lot of work to be done there. But as we make strides in materials manufacturing and aerodynamics research and shit like that, we're starting to get to a point where it's becoming more feasible to use big sails on cargo ships to at least help the engines. In the case of the ship that recently docked at Baltimore, the Neoline Origin, the goal is for it to be primarily a sailing ship. In reality, it still has to use a motor plane. The Neoline Origin is one of a small cohort of ships that is trying to do something like this. It's like 70 in total across the world. And while they did pull into Baltimore with their inaugural trip recently, they were also delayed because the sails were damaged due to weather along their route. So, like, it's understood to still be a problem. But, hear me out. It looks fucking rad. And sailing ships are so cool. I think we can agree that those are scientifically proven points. So, this ship is not going to fix global warming. In fact, even if we did replace all of our freighters with purely green energy-powered ships, freight is still not good for the ocean. Just in general, trash, oil, waste, destroying ecosystems, etc., etc. So putting some sails on some boats is not going to make the world fixed. But it's a cool step in the right direction. And I don't understand this. Maybe somebody who like knows psychology can explain this to me. But when I look at a ship with sails, I just feel better about that ship than I do when I see one that doesn't have sails. It's just like, ah, yes, that's what boat's supposed to be. That feels right. That's human. And I see a freighter with no sails. I'm like, get this the fuck out of my face. What are you doing? I have no idea what's going on with me today. Last thing about the Neoline Origin in this like specific ship, they actually sell the option to ride along on a voyage if you want. It's like several thousand dollars, but you get a room and you can just go on like a month-long trip on this boat. That's neat. Anyone up for some slight mutiny? Did you enjoy Halloween? I hope you did. Personally, I got spooked because my president decided to post on his social network, and that's spooky. Specifically, Trump decided to celebrate Halloween by posting on his social network that the U.S. is considering going in, and I quote, guns a-blazing into Nigeria. This is one of those things that like I didn't realize was even like simmering in right-wing circles, but it turns out that right-wing elected officials and podcasters, etc., have been pushing this conspiracy that there is a coordinated genocide against Christians in Nigeria. And it has culminated already into the president of the United States saying, hey, Nigeria, we're going to cut off aid and you need to address this problem or we might invade you. To which Nigeria's response was, what? See, there's not a genocide of Christians in Nigeria. And to say that is to basically say, I don't understand how the world works. Before jumping into specifics, let's just cover a few baseline facts. One, the United States is not a Christian nation, and certainly not some sort of global Christian defense network. Two, international experts agree that there's not a genocide going on in Nigeria, and not even a thing that could be construed as one. And yet, three, there are multiple major humanitarian issues going on in Nigeria right now, which result in the deaths of Muslims and Christians. Overall, more Muslims have been killed by these conflicts. Currently, Christians have a higher probability of being targeted in certain regions. But it's important to understand that Nigeria is almost 50-50 Muslim and Christian. And so if there's people getting killed in Nigeria, mathematically, it's probably going to be one of those two religions. Now, there is religious-based violence happening in Nigeria at the hands of fringe militias that are mostly off to the north. And while there is fighting between Christians and Muslims happening in Nigeria, it's not because of religion. It's because of resource ownership disputes. In reality, have there been Christians targeted for being Christian? Yes. And also, that's not a genocide. And also, is still bad. Those can all be true. But ultimately, the GOP is currently drumbeating about going after Nigeria over a thing that they can't really do anything about because it doesn't exist. Nigeria is dealing with problems from the militias in the north, and they're like, hey, you want to give us like support in doing that? Cool. But those militias are largely killing Muslims because they're in the north, and in the north of Nigeria, it's primarily Muslim. So essentially, by willfully misinterpreting geopolitical events, the Trump administration is roundaboutly arguing that we should support Nigeria in defending Muslims. What a woke-ass administration. Lightning round. Elon Musk launched Grokpedia, his Wikipedia, quote, competitor. It's largely just an AI slop remix of Wikipedia articles with right-wing talking points woven in. It's really, really, it's just unreadable. Microsoft Teams will soon start tracking whether you are or are not connected to your corporate network, and your manager will be able to see that. A man in the UK was jailed after looking up information about a court case of which he was a juror during the court case. That sucks. And finally for today, a US Navy helicopter and fighter jet both went down in the South China Sea while they were doing, quote, routine operations. Don't worry about it. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Stuff Keeps Happening. Head to skh.news for sources, bonus content, and a location on a free helicopter and fighter jet. My name is Endeavorance. We'll talk again soon. Take care and be well.